people are celebrating like it's the end of the game. Like, we done won the Super Bowl. Like, we six championships up and we a dynasty. Like, bruh, we still trying to get out the first round. And y'all out here dragging your nuts on each other. Cause you done had a couple of months of some lucky plays, some good marketing. Like, let's keep it a buck. Like, for everyone likes to call themselves gurus, experts, and all that, like, you gotta do something for a long period, extended amount of time to be considered a guru, an expert, a master.
I'm back!
Welcome to The Culture's Money. The Culture's Money is a podcast created to discuss how we multiply the $1.2 trillion in spending power possessed by the American Black community through the vehicles of investing, personal finance, ownership, networking, and most importantly, collaboration. We are the culture, baby, and we are the financing that we've been seeking. Now, let's get into this money talk. And here's your host, Jamal Vitos.
This is the first episode of the second season of The Culture's Money. I am your host, Jamal Vitos. Some of you may know me as Leo Grand Prince, but on other platforms, but however it is that you know me, I hope you know me to be an advocate for the financial health and literacy of the Black community and in regards to investing, entrepreneurship, mindset, philosophies, economics, anything in that regard. I hope you to know me to be a champion for those things. It's been a while. The last episode I recorded for you guys was back in December. I swore I would get back on the horse in February, but some things, I don't want to say got in the way, but things delayed. I'm in the transition, in the process of transitioning from Baltimore to Dallas. For those of you who may not follow me on other, on all social medias and know that, I'm moving to another city. I'm making a life change, to taking a risk, you know, taking a leap. So that's been kind of tying me up a little bit, but I have been recording some episodes, so they'll be ready for you guys soon. But I want to make sure that I was giving you guys quality content, that my mind was focused and sharp. So I'm bringing you this first episode of probably a 3-episode launch for the second season. I'm speaking into existence. Come on, Holy Ghost. So I'm happy to be back at the table with y'all, but it's just going to be me today. Kind of how I started the initial podcast last April when I launched it, the first maybe 5 or 6 episodes, it was just me before I brought on guests to kind of talk about everything from tech to entrepreneurship to stylist to, you know, life coaches and all that other things, or life, you know, or mentality people. So this episode, we're just going to kind of just chop it up. I'm going to talk to you about some things I've seen while I've been, you know, off on hiatus. One thing I've seen, let's shout out a lot of things that I've seen so far. It is currently, we're almost in springtime here in the country. So if you've been invested in the stock market is up, I think 15% year over year thus far. So it's up. You're already up double digits. I think you're up 15% on the stock market. If you're in cryptocurrencies, depending on the ones you've picked, you probably pull back a little bit at this point, but overall, you're probably up on most of them, especially if you're up on the memes, the Dodge coins. Like, if you had put $1,000 in it on January 1st, when the year turned 2021, if you had gotten out at the peak, I think the peak was maybe about 69 cents, you would have been up a cool $500,000 in profit. So I'd like to congratulate those of you who've been doing that. Those of you who bought a house, I want to congratulate you on the ownership of an asset that, you know, is a wealth builder, a legacy changer, something that you can pass down to generations to generation. I will say this caveat, though. I hope and I pray a lot of you did not get caught in bidding wars, because some of these housing prices were just outrageous, depending on where you were in the country. I'm in the DMV, and I had a friend of mine who said she got outbid for a property by $100,000 over the asking price, like $100,000, all cash. Like, that is insane. And I know people always say that real estate does go up. But most of you, if you're at least in my generation, even a little bit longer, we're old enough to have lived through the Great Recession and to have seen the economy go through a recession. Like, so we know that housing prices either stagnate or bottom out, depending on the economic situation, and sometimes take a while to come down. Like, there are people who were upside down on their houses when that market collapsed because they paid with the house, with the value of their mortgage was more than what the house was worth at that current moment. So I don't want a lot of you to get caught up in that because interest rates were too low. I want to kill that scenario where people think just because the interest rate's too low, you can't pass up the opportunity and, you know, it's gonna work out. If you end up in a house that you pay more for than it is, you know, than it's worth, you'll still end up in a very dangerous situation because then you can still end up underwater. But I think the thing I want to talk about a little bit or kind to share some thoughts on is perhaps, I don't know if I want to call it mentality. Maybe call it elitism. Thank you. Elitism and classism. And this is in regard to, I always wanted to say this because I want people to know that my podcast is specific. I am always talking to Black people. Like some of you guys getting my comments sometimes talking about, so that's just a Black people thing. Let me make this completely clear. I do not care, nor do I have the time to worry about white people or Asians or any other ethnicity or race that is not mine. I am specifically talking to Black people, Black Americans, because those are my people. That's the culture that I've grown up in. That's my country. Like, so I wanted to stop to be, oh, you're picking on, I don't care what other races are doing. Like, they're not a reflection of me. That doesn't involve me. That isn't, you know, something that I care about until, you know, they get in, you know, into our mix or, you know, they're threatening us. Then I might care about their actions and all that. But as far as financial literacy, financial stability, financial growth, I am always talking to Black people. So spare me the whole, oh, you singling us out. Like, who else am I going to be talking to? So with that caveat being said, like I said, there's a lot of wealth that was made in this pandemic. People were forced to sit down. People got certifications. They started going over into fields, opening businesses, investing in the stock market, things they would have never done in the last 18 months had not their back been put up against the wall. They've been isolated. They've been contained in their homes. Movements they would not have, you know, even thought, if they thought about it, they wouldn't have had the urgency to move. But now it's created this mentality, this persona, this aura of elitism and classism within the Black community, which is interesting because if we're being honest, we are one of the poorest, especially in America, we are one of the poorest of all the races in all the communities compared to the Jews, the whites, the Asians, everyone has more net worth than us. So it's interesting to see people on the timeline, you know, drawing battle lines between 9-to-5s and entrepreneurship, six figures and, you know, people who don't make six figures, luxuries and all. It's becoming a very dangerous perception because the community was already fragmented, already disintegrated into a litany of things, whether it be policy implemented on us by the government, certain things that we've done to ourselves. And the second that I find it telling that our generation, who's in the position to make more money than our parents and our grandparents' generation, the second we started acquiring a little bit of status, a little bit of wealth, we start separating within ourselves. It's always been a classism between, you know, Blacks and other cultures, but, you know, Blacks, there's always been the separation between the college educated Blacks and the non-educated ones, you know, the ones who live in the suburbs and the ones who don't. And now it's getting worse because now it's separating between people who are entrepreneurs, six-figure earners, and, you know, people who are making a lot of money, and then the poor who are left in public homes. But we all seem to congregate on this one platform or these social media platforms where everything can be exchanged. And what I hate to see is this class system where people who are making a certain amount of money feel like that they're better than other Black people. Just because you have money doesn't mean you're better. It means you have more resources. Perhaps you have more skill sets. You have more opportunities. More doors were opened for you, but doesn't mean you're better. Doesn't mean you're better in integrity. Doesn't mean you're better in character. Doesn't mean you're better in honor. Doesn't mean you're better in grace or in blessing. You just have more resources and more access. So to think that you're better than other people, or that you deserve this, or you're entitled to this type of spouse, or you should have this type of luxury and all that, and if people can't provide this for you, or they can't spend the same amount of money as you, then they're one, aren't your people, or two, shouldn't be around you. Like, that's a very dangerous mentality. Like, and people like to use certain words where they're like, they're just not my people, or I'm entitled to think this way, or, you know, that's my opinion, or we just don't think the same. That's an arrogance. It's an arrogance. Like, let me kill a perception right now. There's a very dangerous perception that because you have money, or you're in a job that pays you a certain salary, or you've acquired a few assets, that you have more intelligence. That's a misnomer. Case in point, let me put it into a financial analyst or financial advisor perspective. There are plenty of financial advisors who may not have the money that their clients have, but are smarter than their clients because they're the actual ones who grew their clients' assets. The clients are the recipients and the benefactors of that FA's intelligence, of their skill set, of their ability to read the market. But just because the client has more money than the FA does not mean the client is smarter than the FA. And that's the analogy I have to use in this scenario, because that's what's going on. A lot of you is in regards to the stock market specifically, because this has been going on a lot over the last 18 months. If we're being honest, you hit a couple of lucky plays. You followed the crowd right into some lucky plays. Like, if I am being blunt, 2020 was a market that you could buy anything and it was going to go up. Like, that's the market that we were in. Irrational, impractical, illogical. It did not matter. It was so inflated and so supported by the governmental response to a pandemic. You could not lose money unless you were not invested. And there were plenty of people who weren't invested because of fear. It was plenty of people who got invested because of fear, but they had nothing to lose. But because you hit a couple lucky plays, or you got in the right little Slack groups or group me's or Twitter communities or anything, does not mean you're smarter or better than the people still living on food stamps or unemployed, still collecting pandemic checks. And I think it's very dangerous, especially in the Black community, with what this country has done to us, always systemically separating us, whether it be men against women, women against women, men against men, you know, taking our children from slavery on to Jim Crow, to civil rights, to, you know, economic reparations that'll never come, and just the robbing and the stealing of our culture, and over again. To see that we do that to each other is very puzzling. And some of you are going to tune this out and say, oh, this doesn't include me. I'm just, you know, no, it does include you. Like, when y'all get on the timeline, brag about six-figure salary positions you just got or $20,000 plays you just made. It's not, some of you will say, oh, it's motivation, is motivation, aspiration for other people to get in. No, it's not. Because if it was motivation, you would throw it out there once and then go about your business. Y'all will throw it out five times a day, and I'm being modest with the numbers. And then you will proceed to tweet things over and over again, shading people for not having your money and all that. And maybe it's a pragmatic to me because I've been investing a long time. Like I've told you guys plenty of times, I was investing in the stock market even before I went back to get my finance degree. At this point, the year is 2021. I've been investing professionally and personally 13 years total. I've lost tens of thousands. I've made tens of thousands, you know, in days. Like it happens. Like your skill set improves. you know, you make mistakes and everything like that. But you'll never see me thinking that I'm better than anyone just because of the amount of assets in my portfolio or how much my 401k grew or this and that. And we're a long way from progress, actually. And it speaks to the individualism of the community. How ironic is that? People, the very people who would are shading people and bragging and throwing, you know, their success up in other people's face of their same culture, will be the same people saying, oh, you know, Black people don't support other Black people's products, their services, their brands, but you're shading the clientele that you want. Or better, or on a different point, here is some of you who made lucky plays on some of these investments who are trying to sell it as an actual skill. You could not honestly tell people how you made the money. You just followed a group and it just so happens to work. You couldn't replicate that, but you're selling a course, sell a consultation fees, and somebody's on here telling you you're faking it until you make it. No, that's very dangerous because there's limited amount of wealth in the community as it is right now. And I'm not talking about scarcity. We're talking about two separate things. Scarcity is like there's a fear that there's only so much money in, and I got to take it away from you because if you have it, that means I don't have it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there's a small amount of wealth in the community, and we can't afford to be souring people's experiences and expectations by pretending that we know more than we do. If you just made a couple of lucky plays on some investments and don't really know how you did it, please don't be selling people courses. If you made six figures in an investment, cool. You want to show a screenshot of it in the timeline? Do that. But don't say it so you can motivate people. You're bragging. The culture has to get out of this mindset and this reciprocation of, you know, about flash instead of substance. And it bothered me to the point because I continuously see it. And it's becoming elitist, it's becoming classes, it's becoming a thing that I think will prevent us from building further wealth and power community-wise. And that's where the separation really needs to be, because individual accolades in our community aren't enough anymore. Because if we're being honest, we've had plenty of that. Like, if you go back to even the height of segregation and all that, there's always been a couple of one or two token success stories. Frederick Douglass, Madam C.J. Walker, you know, then you come into the 20th centuries, you got, you know, your Reginald F. Lewis's, your Oprah's, your Michael Jordan's, your Magic's. There were always, you know, a token few who made it, because that it's no threat to the establishment or the systemicness of it all. If only a couple of you make it, and then we start being arrogant and classist and elitist against the other ones, then the system is safe because they're too busy infighting. You can't get anywhere. And that's where it seems to be reciprocated. Now it's just more widespread because you have the advent of social medias, where I can see it tweeted all day. I can see it on Instagram all day. I can see it on Snapchat. I can see it in the videos and the statements and all that. That is a problem. I want y'all guys to have success. I want you to have financial goals. I want you to have financial achievements. But there has to be some understanding that that isn't the end of it, nor is your financial success the only success that we should be having. If you have real skill sets and you have real knowledge, please share that with people. And don't always make it about a paid service and everything like that. Make it about giving back. Like, people are celebrating like it's the end of the game. Like, we done won the Super Bowl. Like, we six championships up and we a dynasty. Like, bruh, we still trying to get out the first round. And y'all out here dragging your nuts on each other. Because you done had a couple of months of some lucky plays, some good marketing. Like, let's keep it a buck. Like, for everyone who likes to call themselves gurus, experts, and all that, like, you got to do something for a long period, extended amount of time to be considered a guru, an expert, a master. Like, y'all always like to reference other people who have done it, but they have a resume of longevity. Warren Buffett has 50 years of investing and being right. Even doing stock markets when it seemed that people thought he had lost his edge, like during the dot-com boom when he was nowhere near tech stocks. People thought he had lost his Midas touch. And then when a bubble burst and he bought all those companies and made all those investments, he still looked like the jinx. Like, we're still running this race. And y'all already drawing battle lines of the haves and the have nots. Who's better? And who, you know, your standard of living and all that. Bruh, if you worried a little bit less about looking good and actually being good, the whole community could be better. And this is not about a soapbox. And a lot of y'all going to tune this out. This is probably not how you wanted the second season to start. But the show is not just about providing you information. It's also about the mentality of the culture. Money isn't just about currency. It's about intellectual capital, social structure, community organizing. So I'm glad you got your six-figure positions and all that. And you made, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on the stock market. Screenshot it once and show the timeline. We don't need to say it again. Provide some useful information and we can all get to this rat race. That's my little song and dance for the opening of this second season. Like I said, I got some good episodes coming up from you guys that will follow this episode. That will be a three-part episode opening. I hope you guys listen. I hope you're ready. I'm working hard for you. I'm giving you quality, not quantity. I am looking to get 40 episodes up this year. Maybe I'm not even going to put a cap on it. Maybe that's the thing to keep make me put out put out more content. I'm not one of them people. I don't think I can do it like once a week. People be having interviews once a week. I don't think I'm that type. But maybe, who knows, if I add a little bit more variety into it, not just making about investing and, you know, bringing entrepreneurs on, who knows? Like, y'all let me know what you want to hear. I want this podcast to be interactive. I want me to provide the insight and the material that you guys find useful. Otherwise, I'm just up here talking, rambling, and that's no good to anybody. So thanks for tuning in. This is the kickoff to the second season of The Culture is Money. I am your host, always Leo Grand Prince, Jamal Vitos, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
That's right. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Culture's Money. You can follow Jamal on Instagram and Twitter at Leo Grand Prince. That's Leo Grand Prince. You can also get in contact with Jamal via Facebook and LinkedIn. Just type in his name. That's Jamal, J-A-M-A-A-L, Vitos, V-E-T-O-S-E. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time right here on The Culture's Money, baby.